There's something with music where it communicates in a different way than just speaking or writing something down. There's a lot that is transferred, you know, when you're when someone is singing, playing, and it might be a different language, but you can get that kind of idea across sometimes. It transcends language and it heals. And it also, I mean, dancing is also really fun, you know? That's part of it, you know? Or feel to get like just to hear like a groove, it can change your mind, you know? just a good solid groove. It does something with your brain and your body and your, I don't know, your attitude. And I love that.
Here we are with Chuck Garvey from Mo, plays guitar, and he's back in the band. Chuck, man, so glad to have you here today. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I bet you must be pretty excited to be back with the guys, huh?
Yeah, it's been really just like the first rehearsals that we did before the shows. We have not been in the same room, the whole band, with our gear, all of it. And it was just, that was really cool to, I don't know, just do that for the first time in over, I don't know, 14 months, something like that. So it was kind of weird. And it was also like, it's been like a day, you know, like it felt like that a little bit. So it's, but it's been really, it's been great. I can play with the band. I can talk to everyone, and at the shows I've been seeing a lot of friends that I haven't seen in a long time, so it's been great.
And you've been shifting your mind now back to just like, you know, full-on musician mode, right?
Yeah. I mean I've been working on that the whole year, but it's a new thing because I've been working on things at home, but it's different when you're traveling and playing long shows. The shows are 3.5 hours and long sound checks, and so it's a lot, you know. You have to pace yourself. So I have to learn that again.
I think it'd be cool to start this out off just like zooming out and just talking about music in general and your preference. I think it's so interesting how quality can be determined in music, whether or not like a jam is good or bad. I'd love to hear from you, like with whatever you're listening to when you're listening to music. Technical ability, it's something that, you know, so many people have, but when it comes to like soul and songwriting and even instrumental improvisation or composition, like what is it about some of your favorite music that, you know, you'd really just absolutely love?
It's weird because there are many bands and artists that I really like, and they write in a way that it's like it, and they play songs live almost like the same way that it's recorded, you know. So sometimes it's like it's almost like rote, but I also really enjoy bands, and the best ones, the ones that I really like the most, you can hear this ensemble approach, you know, and you can hear that they're talking, or sorry, they're listening to each other. And it's a different thing than just like kind of, I don't know, just kind of bullying people over with like the writing and the performance. I can hear, sometimes you can really hear that people are actually adapting on the fly, and that's the kind of music that I really like. So I think that a lot of people who do live shows a lot and really like within our scene, I think the audience really wants to see that part of the band's persona. I can't do it. Sometimes I have to have to slow down and I can get the word personality, something like that. So it's really, I think that a lot of people in our scene really appreciate that kind of music. And I'm one of those people.
I'd love to hear your take on darkness in music that you think can be so profound.
I don't really like bands who do only that. And I think that's, and it's weird because one of the things that drew me to the Dead was the scope of their writing. And there's a really like beautiful, fragile kind of thing that they put in their songs. And then there are some songs that are really like, not evil, but you know, they have that like really dark character. So I like a lot of music that's in every spectrum, you know. I want to get all of that. I don't want to have just one thing.
I wonder if that's like unique to really want that out of your favorite artists, the ability to both be like different kinds of moods.
Right. I mean, some people just want the kind of like the party thing, like everything has to be bangers, you know. and that's great if they want that, if they want to go see like a band like that. I don't know. That's, I mean, for me, if I see like a band or an artist, and if their only mood is one tone, then it's, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm done with that. Or that's good, but I need something else, I guess. But I mean, I also like, if I like one song, it might be my favorite song for a month, you know, but maybe the band can't do anything else. So that's fine. But if I like that one song, then it sticks, you know? So I like it. I'll hold on to that, and I'll turn on other people with that, to this band or whatever. So I don't know. But like I said, you know, I like a real from dark to light and everything in between. Like I want all of that. I like bands who can write like that, that they have more to offer than one thing.
I'd love to hear you talk about what you think it is about music that can cause for it to heal people.
Ooh. Well, it's good to forget your woes, you know, even if you have, you know, like a really sad song, it helps you sometimes to get out of your head. But it's also like, there's something with music where it communicates in a different way than just speaking or writing something down. It's that there's a lot that is transferred, you know, when you're someone is singing, playing, and they have the lyrics or a story. There's a lot that you can imbue with a song, and it's, I don't know, and it might be a different language, but you can get that kind of idea across sometimes. That's one of the things that it transcends language, and I don't know. So I think that people really, it heals. And it also, I mean, dancing is also really fun, you know, that's part of it, you know, or feel to get like, just to hear like a groove, it can change your mind, you know, just a good solid groove. You can just, I don't know, it does something with your brain and your body and your, I don't know, your attitude. And I love that, you know, that's one of the things that I've been thinking about since I was like five, like listening to music and just trying to figure out what is going on and what it does to you when you hear this. And I don't know. I've wanted to figure that out my whole life. And it's still, every time I find something new, it gets that same feeling. And I love that. I'm always looking forward to that feeling of something new that really connects between the listener and the musician. I love it.
Hi, I'm Katie, producer of Weird Music Podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Voodoo Ranger. Live rangerously.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Just want to let y'all know we've got these hand-dyed, ice-dyed Weird Music Podcast hoodies and also tees. If you'd like one, let us know. We'd love to get you one. And a big thank you to the geniuses over at Thrax CBD for sponsoring us with their amazing products. Also want to give a big thank you to J&J Distribution, Ohio's premier Delta 8 and CBD wholesale supplier. Retailers, check out their brands Cloud 8, Compassionate Buds, and Zaza. Got links in the description. And yeah, much love, y'all. Now back to the episode.
So, you know, with music, but also other than music, I'd love to hear you talk about the things that have really brought you the most like solace and relief and just like upliftment throughout your recovery process.
I was talking to the band about, we were rehearsing, and earlier that morning I was watching an interview with Rick Rubin and Paul McCartney. And it's amazing. It's a great interview about like Paul's all of his songs from Beatles and beyond. And then we were talking about that and the other film that was done that came out after I had my stroke. And I can't remember. Do you remember what it was called? Get Back. I started watching it when I was in rehab, and I was still like less than a month after my stroke, and I wanted to watch it but the songs were just a different, they were different than the version that I've listened to my whole life. So it was messing with my mind, you know, because they were just rehearsing and, you know, talking and trying to figure out arrangements and everything. And it was messing with me because I wanted to hear, you know, Get Back, like that song, or any of those songs, because it was just a different thing, you know. So it was, I couldn't deal with it. But since, you know, after like a month or so, I felt better about just watching movies and shows and everything. It was a different kind of a focus thing. And now I think now I should go back and watch that, because I would probably really like it, but I couldn't do it at that point. You know what I mean? A lot of people know a bit about what happened with me, but one of the things that I don't think I've really talked about is cognitively, I couldn't absorb that amount of information at once, you know. A little bit, it was great talking to people, that was great, but like watching 3 hours of the Beatles playing and playing the songs differently that I've, you know, like, I don't know, I think it was troubling to me because it was different than my memory. It just wasn't right. Now it's fine. I should go back and watch the whole thing.
So one thing we talk about, you know, on this podcast pretty regularly is things pertaining to anxiety and like stage fright. But, you know, kind of looking at that from a different angle, I'd be curious to hear from you if this process has, like, you know, at all helped you learn about managing feelings of fear and anxiety, and really just like what it's been like for you from that perspective.
Wow. for a while I was worried about being out in the world, you know, not just. For a while I was in a hospital for a while, and getting out of that was kind of mind blowing, because my wife picked me up and there was a lot of traffic and people, and I don't know, it was just too much. It was like sensory overload, you know. And so that was one thing. And then also, I couldn't really speak well. I was working on my speech with therapists, and then after I got home, I got a different speech therapist, and we just worked on all that stuff. And at that point, I couldn't go to eat and order my food by myself, you know, because it was kind of like stage fright with ordering, you know, steak. I don't know. It's those things that I had to really work on. So, and I couldn't, you know, I just wanted to say like lemonade. That was hard. I couldn't say that, you know. So there's kind of a what's it called? Stage fright, just doing that. And I've been thinking about joining the band again and playing on stage. And it was kind of like a really huge task. And just, I don't know, just traveling and doing all this stuff. It seemed too much, but over the year, I've been just getting better and better. And now I feel confident that I can do that. But, you know, like 6 months ago, I wouldn't feel that way. I would want to just stay home and just, I don't know, play guitar by myself because it's at my pace and really like my pace is slow. My speech is slow. I don't know. I have to think about everything right now, but I feel really good about doing everything, walking, traveling, playing with the band, doing, you know, talking to you about like these big kind of ideas. You know, it's hard to do. And one of the things that happened with my stroke was it's this thing called aphasia, and it's the words are in my head, but sometimes I can't find them. You know, I know that there's this perfect word that I have to describe what I'm thinking, and sometimes I have to think about it, and then, but usually I can find it. You know, and it's been getting better and better because I have to talk to people every day and find these new words. And, you know, so it's, I don't know, it's kind of a strange trip to do this whole thing from not, I talked to Rob about this and he said, I asked him, you know, like how much did I talk when I first woke up from the stroke? And he said, I think you had like 5 words. So from that to this is a big leap. So, and I'd like to say, you know, I'm really lucky, and it's hard to, some people, they get that stage fright in their life. You know, just trying to speak with people every day. And some people, they get really depressed because, you know, it's really hard to do this stuff. And sometimes they isolate themselves. And I just didn't want that. I wanted to work on this stuff because I want to play music. I want to be able to talk with everyone that I've ever met in my whole life. You know, I want to do that stuff. So, I hope that people can get the confidence to be able to overcome this kind of stuff. Stage fright on the stage, and stage fright in life is almost the same thing. Sometimes you're put in your in that place, and I don't know. I've been trying to work on that for a long time.
Man, well, that's a very inspiring perspective, and I agree with you. Like, stage fright is powerful no matter where you have it. And based on what you just said, that you've made some incredible, incredible progress, man. And it really is inspiring.
It's I've had a lot of support, and I can't do a lot of the stuff that I have to that I had to do and go through this past year. I needed a lot of people to help me, and you know, my wife, my speech therapist, OT, PT, my bandmates, you know, our fans, my family. It's a lot, you know, and they really helped in many, many ways. You can't do it yourself. You have to really lean on people. And that's kind of a new thing for me as well, to be able to lean on people that much.
Would you say there's been any shifts in what's most important to you and what's most fulfilling to you from, you know, if you look back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and then if you look at where you're at now, do you feel like there's been any changes in that for you?
Sometimes I think about it as like a hard boot, like a computer, you know, so you have to really think about how you approach everything. You know, I'm 53 years old, and at that point I've learned a lot, and I was kind of like in my what do you say this is one of the things I have to find the word for this, but I was set in my ways, you know, not completely, but, and before, like in when COVID started, the band we stopped for a while, and at home I would work on the basics for music theory and playing, and just working on that stuff. So that was a new thing for me to like just like go back and just really, I don't know, build up again and get some more inspiration. And then after the stroke, I had to do, it was a new thing again. I had to like build up again. So I think in that way, I look at everything a little bit differently, because I'm a different person. I'm the same person, but a different attitude sometimes, you know, helps. So
man, Chuck, thank you for taking the time of speaking with me here today. It's been so great catching up with you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to me and my slow speech. I like doing all of this stuff. It's kind of humbling, and I'm grateful that I can speak with you and talk about this stuff, because I don't know, maybe someone else will get something out of it, you know. So
definitely. Well, man, your past been very inspiring, your recovery and your attitude and your approach to the whole thing. If you listen this far, we got links in the description for Mo's upcoming winter tour. So, you know, definitely check that out. And yeah, Chuck, starting to wrap up, just got a couple more quick little questions for you here, but man, thanks again for real, for everything.
Thank you.
What would you tell someone who who just recently went through a significant health event.
Oh, wow. You need to lean on people, I guess, your friends, family. You just, you know, don't do it by yourself. Day in and day out, you have to like really just receive that kind of support when you can, and that'll get you through.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say if you could write one piece of advice that would be in your child, your family's pocket for their whole life, what would that be?
You're never alone.
Final question for you here. Yeah. If you would say there's one takeaway or lesson or piece of advice to be gained from your story, from, you know, not just what's happened to you recently, but your whole life, what you're all about, what would you say that is?
Oh, wow. I have, for me, for my own kind of experience, I really like learning about new things all the time. With, you know, if it's music or travel or meeting new people, it's that new thing that you can take away and get smarter, faster, better. I like learning new things, and I think it really propels you forward through life. I would think so.
Amen. Chuck, man, so great to speak with you here. Round of applause for Chuck. Can't wait to see you on tour, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to play some more shows. The first three were I was really tired after that, so I'm gonna have to really bulk up, I think.